are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. Know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Going to the OBM hotline one more time today as we get the draft guru from the Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout, Matt Miller. Matt, how you doing today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sorry to hear about your earbuds. It always happens when you're about to take a big trip.
I know, and that flight from Kansas City to New York is terrible. It's horrible. So I'm like gonna be hitting Best Buy tonight. I gotta find some new earbuds.
Yeah, every airport's
Brookstone in the airport. Brookstone in the airport
now. They are. So here we are, less than a week away from the draft. Any big news now that you're kind of reaching out to teams, getting yourself ready for the actual event on risers, fallers, and anything pertaining to the Browns?
You know, not a ton of new news. I think this week and next week is when you start to, like, everyone wants to talk, which should always scare you. You know, when those guys have been dodging your call for a week or two, when they want to talk now, you have to worry about getting used, you know, by people in the team. So nothing incredibly new. You know, there's some injury things. Todd Gurley's knee looks great. JHIA maybe has a foot thing, maybe doesn't have a foot injury, depending on who you talk to. TJ Clemmings with the stress fracture. Those things pop up now. That's pretty common. But as far as the Browns go, it has been consistent for me since the combine. What I've heard is they love Marcus Mariota, and I think that they are very interested in trading up. It just depends on what the asking price will be. You know, everyone tells me Mariota's going number two. He's going number two. I don't know if that's Tennessee, San Diego, Cleveland, or Philadelphia picking there, but it definitely sounds like he's going two.
Going to, so we had a couple other people on the show today that we have asked this question to. In your evaluative process, is there any comparison between Marcus Mariota and Johnny Manziel as prospects?
It's a stretch to say. I would say no. Like, my instinct is no. The only thing that you can maybe argue is that they both come from systems that don't translate to the NFL. But, you know, you have the size difference with Manziel and Mariota. It's huge. The character is completely opposite, like as opposite as you can get. So you might be able to say they ran a similar, you know, spread out offense in college. But even then, their offenses were very different. Oregon didn't ask Mariota to be a designed runner a lot. They did ask him to play from within the pocket. So I would say that there's not a big similarity.
Matt, at this point right now, there's been recent, like, a distinct offer that someone has thrown out for Marcus Mariota and the Philadelphia Eagles, making a move with the Cleveland Browns included to get up to number two to take Marcus Mariota. Is that still valid? Because I feel like that rumor has gone away for probably the last month and a half, but we know that Chip Kelly, now that he's got the control of the reins with personnel, anything can happen at this point.
Now, that sounds like something you would try in Madden, you know? Like. Or the NBA, you know, like three-team trades. That's I can't think of one in the NFL, you know. And I've been covering the draft for a long time, 10 years now. And three-team trades, just it's not super common. I know that everyone who covers the league, I should say, they want Mariota in Philadelphia. I think it's just the storyline. But Chip Kelly hasn't shown a ton of interest in his former quarterbacks. Now, maybe he breaks the mold and mortgages the future to go up and get Mariota. I would personally be shocked, and I don't think they have the ammunition outside of draft picks to do it. So you're talking about a Washington moving up to two to get RG3 type trade, whereas Cleveland, you have 12 and 19. That's great. Or 12 and 43. You know, there's a lot of ammunition. If you're San Diego, you have Phillip Rivers, who is incredibly valuable as a player by himself. So it's really hard for me to see Philadelphia, even in that three-team scenario, just having the firepower to make that happen.
Matt, a player that's been linked to the Cleveland Browns since the Senior Bowl has been Danny Shelton. What are your thoughts on Danny Shelton? We just had another analyst on that said to compare him to Haloti Ngata to be that productive of a football player. And do you think he's a great fit at 12 for the Cleveland Browns, or is he a guy that could go in front of the Cleveland Browns inside the top 10?
Yeah, I love Danny Shelton. I actually had the chance to talk to him. I guess it was about 2 weeks ago. And he told me he's going to the Cleveland Browns. So
wow.
He said himself, like, I'm going to Cleveland. So they're probably already making the jersey for him. If that's a 12 at 19, we'll see. But I think he is a tremendous fit, you know, to be that anchor in the middle of the defense. I think he's been typecast a little bit as, oh, he's just a nose tackle, but he is a versatile nose tackle. You know, Haloti Ngata is going to be the comparison, or Vince Wilfork, guys who can play over the center. They can play shading the center, could probably play head up on a guard if need be. But Danny Shelton is a fantastic player. I think he would be a value at 12. He would be an exceptional value at 19 if he's somehow still on the board. And, you know, guys who are his size and move like he moves and are able to just shut down the interior run, they don't last very long on draft day. So I think he's going to be a pretty early pick.
I was going to say, do you think what are the chances he gets to 12?
I think there is a good chance because the draft is top heavy with, you know, the two quarterbacks are going.
Yep.
Probably two receivers, maybe three.
Okay.
You've got a couple edge rushers, you know, Dante Fowler, whatever the combination of
Vicky Leonard Williams as well in there.
Leonard Williams is going. So I think it does bode well for him to fall to 12. I think you have to worry a little bit about Chicago at 7. But other than that, I can't see anyone who would, you know, who seems like an obvious fit.
You mentioned earlier you got to be careful what you listen to now as far as misinformation goes. How much misinformation do you think you get? And when you get it, do you sometimes not report it? And how do you sort of sniff it out when it is misinformation?
It's tough. I'll tell you, a few years ago, I was at the Combine, and I got a text from a really good friend of mine who was a scout at the time for a team. He's not anymore. He texted me and said, there's no way Matt Barkley gets past the Cardinals at 7. But, you know, this is 2 or 3 years ago, I tweet that out, and people still remind me that, oh, you said Matt Barkley was going to the Cardinals. And it's like, well, no, I just told you what someone told me. So you learn hard lessons in this business, and I think you have to have a long-term relationship with someone before you just take their word for something.
And so, something like that affects your credibility, right, when you latch
absolutely.
Your name to a rumor like
yes.
that.
Now, everyone remembers when you're wrong. Very few people remember when you're right. So you have to be really careful. And I think it's important, you know, we're not breaking Watergate here covering the NFL, but you have to have a couple people you can run things by. You can't just, you know, hey, one team tells you that Todd Gurley's knee looks terrible and you run with it. You know, that's something that you would have to check out. So it's become a much more thorough process instead of one team scout told me this, let me tweet it to the masses. I think it's much more of a vetting process now.
So do you go back to that scout and say, hey, what the bleep? Or do you just sort of file it away and know that the next time this guy gives you information, you'll take it with a grain of salt?
Oh, that guy, I called him. I called him right after the draft and was like, dude, what are you doing to me? Like, what was this? And he was like, man, that's what everyone was saying. And like, you know, I get it. He doesn't work in the league anymore. So we don't talk a whole lot these days, but you have to be careful. And, you know, there are young scouts. I'm still a pretty young guy in this business. So I think everyone's just trying to figure out who does what and who you can trust. So you have to be careful. You definitely do.
Talk with Matt Miller from the Bleacher Report right now, their NFL draft expert. Matt, you're a farmer. What is kind of the ideal scenario as you see it? We'll just go through, say, the first 3 or 4 picks here for the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, ideal would be Marcus Mariota being there at 12, but I think we can all cross that off the list.
So, okay.
Yeah, I think Shane Ray being there at 12 would be ideal. You know, there's been some talk about he has maybe a foot injury, doesn't need surgery. Some teams say he does. I think that he would be a great value for them. And I know they have a small pass rusher already in Barkevious Mingo, but I think that they would complement each other very, very well. So I would think Shane Ray at 12 would be ideal, and then Danny Shelton at 19. If you can get those two players in the first round, you've got foundation building blocks on your front line and at linebacker. And, you know, a receiver would be great, but I think the moves in free agency allow them to be more aggressive on defense.
All right, you're speaking my language. That's what I think. And then this becomes, in my opinion, has the opportunity to be a top 3 D in the league. So then at 43, that's where I'd want to come back and go receiver. Who do you like of the guys that could be there at 43? And does the guy that I've really started like, Nelson Agholor, does he have any chance of being there at 43?
He doesn't. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
A couple months ago, I thought, yeah, maybe. But he's really moving up. Teams love great hands. I think he has the best hands in the draft,
yep.
And he's a good route runner. So at 43, you're probably talking Jalen Strong from Arizona State, Devin Funchess from Michigan, Devin Smith from Ohio State, who's, you know, a great deep threat, or Max Williams, the tight end from Minnesota, might be an option there. I don't think he's going first round. So he could be a player who's still on the board at 43. I think Philip Dorsett is probably already gone at that point. the slot receiver from Miami. If he's there, that would be a great pickup as well.
Matt, appreciate the time. I'm sure you are ready for this draft like so many of us are. Everybody can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Have a good trip out there to New York and hopefully get the earbud situation worked out. But thanks for the insights as always.
You bet, guys. Have a great day.
All right, that'll do it. The parade of stars here on this Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I would love that edge rusher. Now, I think you could flip it, maybe Shelton, then Shane Ray. You're not a Shane Ray guy, but let's say the Browns, let's say Ray Farmer, these scouts, they have Shane Ray that high on their board, and you could come out of there with that you're a great edge rusher and a great run stuffer in the middle. If you get Shelton and an edge rusher, I would be dancing. The kid would be moonwalking. You'd be back having a pool party in San Diego. Everybody will be excited here for the Browns. When we come back, we're going to bring in Gibbs. We're going to do the Friday forecast and wrap it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.